Du, jeg trenger en strømavtale. Bare noe enkelt.
Fortum.
Så har jeg jo lyst til å følge med på forbruket mitt.
Fortum.
Noe som trygt og enkelt, liksom.
Fortum.
Ok, hvem strømleverandøren din, da?
Fortum.
Enkelt, trygt og oversiktlig. Det ikke rart at Fortum den mest valgte I Norden.
Vessel. Fantasy Premier League.
Hei, hei og hjertelig velkommen til en spesialepisode av Vesselstuen. Vi har jo spilt inn en om Game Week 1 med Eine Tørnqvist og Kim Mittli, men nå skal vi snakke med det som min desiderte favoritt content creator I FPL-sfæren. Det Gian Batra, som mange kjenner fra Twitter. Vi elsker jo trådene hans. Han vel den som den beste metodikken og mest interessant å melde egentlig på fantasy, synes jeg, om dagen. Så nå kommer det på engelsk. Det får dere bare kose dere med. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Vessel. I'm incredibly pleased to be able to be welcome my absolute favorite FPL content creator, Gian. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hello. Thank you so much for that very kind welcome. I'm very glad to be here. And speaking to the people in Norway, I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
It's been I've been reading you for quite some time, and I felt like pretty early on I really appreciated your approach and your sort of framework for how you see things and how you interpret the statistics, as well as you also have a sort of keen sense of watching like football abilities that doesn't actually translate to the statistics without it being like an eye test sort of thing in air quotes there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess as the game's getting harder, I'm just trying to learn as much as from people who have been more successful than myself in the game. And I definitely have to take some form of an analytics approach now, I think, with given how successful that's been for so many. And then incorporating that with my own style from what I do with essentially my takings from the eye test. So, yeah.
Yeah, because you had a sentence there about Minte from Brighton, which was like, yeah, spaghetti legs, but he generates lots of force. It's just such a good picture of someone like noodles sort of splattering around, and when he has to, generates a lot of force going forward there.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched a compilation of him because a friend told me, you need to check him out. This guy's a really good player. And I was just surprised, compared to other people who dribble, how, I guess, his legs just moved a lot. Like, they seemed very loose. And it was just an observation I picked up. And the more I watched him, the more I realized he leveraged that in, like, small spaces to be able to beat players. And it helped him, especially when he was in wide areas, just whether it was in terms of retention or just, you know, in those 1v1 duels within those wide areas. But also, he still managed to generate a lot of power. So it was a interesting thing to see. So I thought I'd just talk about it.
It's such an interesting sort of landscape in terms of content now, because you have lots of sort of engagement farming types that just sort of, hey, do you have Haaland in your team? And then that generates like 70,000 engagements, and they're happy doing that. And then you have on the far other end where you have people that are really, really math and statistics and model based. Would you say, where would you place yourself on sort of the spectrum in terms of how you approach FPL?
Yeah, so obviously with the volume of tweets and content you do,
it's too much.
There's always going to be... Yeah. There's always going to be some stuff which is probably not the most insightful, maybe a little bit blatant, but in general, especially with my long form content like YouTube now and the threads, I do try and go into as much detail and explain my thought process in a structured manner to the best of my ability, as opposed to just being like, oh, Haaland is a good player, you should buy him. Actually, to be fair, with Haaland, I think he should do well this season.
Yeah, you see, see threads where people are like, yeah, I think he'll do well. And I'm like, I don't care what you think. Like, what's the basis of this conclusion? But okay, so let me walk the listeners through the structure of this episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the defenders, the premium, and the 4.5. We're going to talk about mid-priced midfielders as well as the premium ones. And of course, the attackers and everything in between that pops up that's interesting to talk about. And lastly, we'll get a live grading of my latest draft, which should be interesting, because even though I love your content, I think we disagree about probably half the team. So it should be should be a fun exercise.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a debate.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So, first of all, you posted a brilliant video about the premium defenders this year, and you especially talked about Guardiola, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and the Arsenal defenders. And in terms of, it's sort of interesting because every season when the game opens, you have a template, and then that changes probably three or four times during the sort of preseason. And Guardiola was one player that was in every single team I saw. But now, I agree with you. I'm sort of getting a little bit of doubt in terms of his role and probably also his fixture difficulty. What would you say your analysis is about Guardiola?
Yeah, sure. So we'll start with the fixture difficulty, which is the opposite way around to how I've usually been assessing him. I think they're really, not really poor, but I think they're quite poor fixtures from a defensive standpoint. I mean, Chelsea away, I expect them to concede. Ipswich at home is great, right? But from there is where I think there's a slight misinterpretation. Going away to West Ham when they have Fulcrook, Antonio, Bowen, Paqueta, Kudu, Somerville, that's a lot of firepower to hold off, especially early in the season when a lot of your players have gone to the Euros.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I don't think maybe they'll be at their best in the early weeks. They rarely are, see. They always kind of tick when they need to towards the middle. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them concede there. They've got Brentford after that. Brentford always is a tricky-ish fixture for City, just given the matchups. I've never watched City-Brentford, and I think when I've watched that, it's always a fixture that Pep has in the back of his mind that's a little bit challenging. Brentford are really good at crowding the box, so mitigating Haaland to some extent. And then also on transition, they've definitely got some threat with going long to Tony and Mbeumo. So that's another thing. And then you've got Arsenal, Newcastle afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So at 6 million, I'm not sure that's the best usage of funds for those type of fixtures. And then the big thing with him, though, is what's the role going to be?
Yeah.
Last year, obviously, towards the back end, you see him play this hybrid left-back, left-winger, complete unicorn role, never done before, and he performs exceptionally in it. And I think only now do I start to really appreciate how impressive that actually is, because how multifaceted you need to be, especially in a Pep system where he's so demanding, for you to be able to accomplish that. I don't think long-term, as Pep is a perfectionist, that is the most optimal way to play football. I think you want your left-winger having a little bit more in his arsenal than Guardiola does, hence the reason why I think Grealish should, or Doku will play pretty much every game, and you'll go back to a structure whereby Guardiola isn't both a defender and a midfielder all in one. That isn't to say that he'll never get into that left half space and advanced zones and complete attacking actions there. It's just that I think he'll do that at a lower frequency, especially when De Bruyne is in the side.
Yeah,
and I expect De Bruyne to be in the side early on. When there's less games, he's back from the Euros a bit earlier than most because they got knocked out in the round of 16. So with that in mind, I'm not super bullish on his output, albeit I'm still aware that it's there to some extent, but I'm not super bullish on him going parabolic like last year, and I don't really like the fixtures.
Yeah, I think sort of the main thing that I arrive at is if you decrease his attacking output by, say, 60 or 70%, which is sort of is likely, I would say, because if he has a change in role, which it seems like just continuing with that sort of role for a defender, we've never seen that before. So I think it's more likely that there's going to be a role change. And then you're paying 6 million for someone who doesn't really have the good fixtures. And yeah, the City defense will be good, but I'm thinking just at the start of the season, I would prefer someone like an Arsenal defender to start with us, which has a better starting fixture list, and also it's like just relying on the attacking output of someone you don't really know the role of. I don't particularly feel confident about, especially in defense, and then sort of segues well into Trent Alexander-Arnold, which we don't really know. He's always been good. Like his attacking output, his underlying statistics has been really amazing, but there's some uncertainty there. So what's your feelings about Trent this season, John?
Yeah, so Trent is probably the only player that I don't own who I really, 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 really like and would love to own. And he's probably the only one I'm still trying to sacrifice elsewhere to get him in the side, or at least playing with the idea. Fixtures are great for Liverpool. Opening like six are really, really strong. Not only that, he's a freak in terms of the fact that he's the best creative defender I think the world's ever seen, ever. I think the numbers back that up as well. And at 7 million, it's just the fact he's a little bit expensive compared to the rest of the defenders. I'm not interested at White at the moment, just because I don't think I'm going to get enough attacking output out of him to justify 6.5. But with Trent, for me, it's mainly just a price thing. I just don't I can't justify to myself spending 7 million on a defender when I'm so bullish on Arsenal. I think if I wasn't as keen on Arsenal defenders, especially Gabriel, I don't really care about White and Saliba, but if I wasn't so bullish on Gabriel, I'd find a way to get an extra 1 million to get Trent. But I'm comfortable just having Gabriel for the pure fact that I think he's a better defensive asset than Trent in these early weeks, which I imagine won't be popular. And it is marginal between those two, but I just feel more comfortable with Gabriel, especially when you factor in the extra million that I get to save.
Yeah, for the time being, my defense is Trent, Gabriel, and Lewis Hall from Newcastle. So I'm just saying it's possible to fit them both in there.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I think when you like when we talk about the midfield and you see my bullishness on a few assets, you'll understand why, like for me at least at the moment, getting Trent and Gabriel on the same side is pretty difficult. Yeah. I didn't touch on him too much individually. I think his output would maybe be a little bit struck, just a little bit compared to previous seasons under Klopp, simply because I think him being a bit central reduces the range of ankles he has to access as opposed to the ones he did in the past. I think you'll see less crosses and more balls straight over the top into the runs of Salah, Nunes, Hotter, Diaz, etc., etc. Whereas I don't think you see as many crosses. And I think having that in his arsenal a bit more at a higher frequency would probably be a little bit better for his output.
Yeah, I agree. And you've sort of been the lone voice in sort of trying to remind people of how strong the assets from the Arsenal defense is. And I tried to make that point. We have a tradition where we kick off like the game week one with two guests that has been on for many times, and they were like, how, what, why are you considering the Arsenal players? And then for me, I remember last season going without them was just heartbreak because they were so good. They always kept a clean sheet, and Gabriel only scored 3 goals, but now they have a set piece specialist as well, so it sort of seems, I imagine a lot of teams have a set-piece specialist, but a really good one. So for me, just with a fixture list for Arsenal to start with, especially Wolves at home, I imagine like Gabriel Saliba could easily get a 15-burger, as we say here in Norway.
Du, jeg trenger en strømavtale. Bare noe enkelt.
Fortum.
Så har jeg jo lyst til å følge med på forbruket mitt.
Fortum.
Noe som trygt og enkelt, liksom.
Fortum.
Ok, hvem strømleverandøren din?
Fortum.
Enkelt, trygt og oversiktlig. Det ikke rart at Fortum den mest valgte I Norden.
Høsten bedre med meny, og denne helgen får du blant annet fersk hel krabbe til 139 kroner kilo, 650 gram fersk kyllingfilet til 89 kroner, topakk Norvegia til 99 kroner kilo, og plukk og mix 3 for 2 på utvalgte grønnsaker, både I butikk og levert hjem. Meny, spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
Yeah, so the way I view it is, I view Gabriel as the absolute pinnacle and a huge gap between him and then White and Saliba. If Gabriel didn't exist, I wouldn't care about the Arsenal defense because I don't think you get the... Actually, to be fair, I think it's Saliba's attacking upside will have increased, but I'm not too bothered about White. What I like so much about Gabriel is two things. One, like you mentioned, they are the best set-piece-taking team, arguably, in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And then he is probably the biggest aerial threat in the league, maybe, from set pieces. So 7 to 8 times a game, I'm going to get some form of a chance for my centre-back. Great, yep. Right? Like, I get a defender who can genuinely score goals, and a lot of them, in a very unique scenario, circumstance, however you wish to frame it. And then I get the same guy also playing for the best defensive unit, not only in the league, but probably the world as well. And we're 2 home fixtures in the first 3. Even Villa away, no one really scares me in terms of breaking down this Arsenal attack repeatedly. I think Arsenal have to have an off day, or you have to get very lucky for you to score. But if Arsenal are on it, I think they can honestly be pretty much fixture-proof, as close to fixture-proof as we've ever seen from a defence. And thus, with the upside that I get from the set pieces, especially the attacking upside, that's why I'm so bullish on Arsenal. I also think, as things stand right now, they're my favourites to win the league. So that's probably factoring in a little bit.
Can I ask you, are you an Arsenal fan?
No, I'm not. I go through like phases where I like get really attached to certain teams at FPL, but I'm a Chelsea fan.
Okay. So that's interesting. So people ask also, isn't Saliba a safer pick? There were rumors about Gabriel leaving for the Emirates and stuff like that. But my point was like, it seems a little bit too late for that now. He seems pretty nailed on in the center of that defense and also the best header of the ball on set pieces.
Yeah, I think he's nailed. Arteta's pretty big on having like aerially dominant, physically dominant players. So to take away arguably your best box defender in the air, maybe Saliba aside, I don't think it's particularly intelligent, or it doesn't really align with that philosophy, is a better way to put it. Secondly, he's a monster in that left center back channel, and sure, like, you could integrate Calafiori into that and have a better passer, because he definitely is a better passer and better on the ball than Gabriel. But he's just come to the club. Let him integrate himself for a while at least before you decide to make a change of that magnitude. Plus, I think he's going to play that inverted left back role anyway. So yeah. For me, I think he's absolutely nailed. This isn't the Gabriel of last year, where he's a little bit worse defensively and he's error prone. This guy's eradicated all of that. He's worked clearly very hard, and he's prospering as such, and I don't see any problems with his minutes.
Yeah, he's one of the picks that I'm most confident about also in my draft. And going along to the 4.5 defenders, I think a lot the feeling was that we had a sort of a spoiled for choice when it comes to the cheaper defenders. Do you have any favorites? I've been on Mikulenko for a long time just because Everton is good and solid defensively, and he seems half a million underpriced in terms of his contemporaries sort of in Everton there. But I've landed on Mikulenko and Lewis Hall as my duo in the draft now. Like, do you have any favorites in that price range?
It's funny you say that, because I was looking at it today as one of the last pieces of the puzzle on my team.
Yeah.
And I really dislike all of them. there's not a single 4.5 million option that I look at and I'm like, yeah, right. I think they all have their issues. Lewis Hall's main issue being the fact that Newcastle aren't great away from home and the expected minutes, but I can still see past that, because maybe he just plays so well where Eddie Howe finally gives up his obsession with Dan Burn. And
let's hope so. I'm a Newcastle supporter, yeah. So let's hope so. I'm so sick and tired of Dan Burn.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a Lewis Hall type talent on the bench, I don't really get it either. Maybe for some hype, but I don't think it's worth the trade-off. The other thing is, I do expect them to be better away from home than they were last year. They obviously had so many injuries.
Yeah.
You have to account for that, right? Squad looks better, I'd say-ish, especially with Hall and Livermento taking larger, more responsible roles this year. The other thing, so that's him. Those are my issues with him. And then I like Robinson, I guess, a bit, because the fixtures in 2 and 3 are good, and he seems to have very good attacking upside.
Yeah.
Gets forward a lot, not just overlaps, but also underlaps in that Fulham side, which surprised me, the volume of them. I think Forest's fixtures are absolutely brilliant. I just don't like any of the attacking threat from their 4-5s, but I probably am going to settle to go for a Neco Williams or Murillo. I think Murillo's due a goal, and Williams is probably due an assist sometime soon. I just really like the fixtures. Mikulenko, I looked at it, as in, who is it? It's Brighton in game week 1, and I think Brighton have got a lot of firepower this year with Minter, João Pedro, etc.
And then they have Spurs away in the next one. And yeah, but then they have Bournemouth and also Aston Villa away, which is not that great. But it's interesting you mentioned Neco Williams, because that was the favorite of my previous co-host, and he was made a little bit of fun of yesterday. And it's interesting to hear you mention him as your favorite, because now I'm getting him right into my team from Mikulenko.
Yeah, I just love the fixtures. I think those first three are so good. Like, you've got a Bournemouth side at home that have no Solanke, and that too, he's gone recently with no replacement. Then you've got Southampton away, one of the best fixtures, and then Wolves at home. Like, it's just such a good run.
Yeah.
I feel like I may as well, if I don't like any of them, I may as well take a piece and just try and take a clean sheet.
Yeah, that's a good tip right there. It's sort of, there's a lot of different factors, but the fixtures really matter when you're talking about the 4.5s.
Yeah, that, exactly, right? Like, all you're looking to do with the 4.5s is what I would call get away with it. Like, find a few clean sheets in weeks that, like, even the premiums have good fixtures, and you're golden. Honestly, like, if you can do that and put the money into your attack, you'll be absolutely golden if you can get the right 4.5s at the back.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to the mid-price midfielders. And it's a huge pool of players to choose from. And it's sort of the same situation with the Guardiola that everybody started with, I think, probably Nkunku and also Eze. Nkunku has sort of fallen out of favor in the last week or a couple of weeks. There's a lot of uncertainty. Why are they chasing João Felix? They're just sort of trying to buy, or are rumored to be interested in, people that sort of play the same role that Nkunku does. So I think you're a little bit out on Nkunku for the time being, and I feel that way as well.
Yeah, so I mentioned the pieces of the puzzle that to solve. The first was the 4.5s, and the only other one that I'm, I guess, slightly disgruntled about is this mid-price slot. it is so, so difficult. There are so many good options. They all have their negatives. That's the thing. Mm. There's not an asset where I'm like, oh, you know, like, sure, there's a few things going for him, but he doesn't have anything against him. All of them have something against him. Nkunku, I don't love the first two fixtures. I don't love the fact that we're potentially signing João Felix. I don't think it should be a problem because I think he's just way better. Mm-hmm. Well, not way better, but he's definitely a better player. So I think his minutes should be fine, but I don't love his first two fixtures. Gibbs White, I don't like the lack of goal threat from open play. Eze, I just don't love the fixtures. I think those first three are a little bit overrated. Also, the transfer speculation is playing my mind just a little bit. I don't think he'll go to City, but you never know when the Pep checkbook comes calling. Mbeumo is someone today that I start to look at. I really like Palace defensively, so that doesn't help with Mbeumo's appeal considering they've got him game week one. If I have a slight shift on perspective, maybe I value him higher. Kudus not generating the output I would have liked in preseason, so they've all got problems. I think as of now, I might just go safe and go Eze. But it'll probably be one of him in Nkunku and Mbeumo. That's just kind of how I see it at the moment. Or who knows? Maybe I'll take a massive punt on Rashford.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, but you're big on Saka and Son as well, Jim. Mm. Yeah, because that's when I look at my team now, so it's my midfield is Nkunku, Salah, Eze, Bob, and Smith Rowe. And I'm really happy with Salah, obviously. Eze, he's going to stay on the side. Smith Rowe seems like a good option when his expected minutes go up, and I'm happy to take the lesser of the expected minutes to start the season. But at the same time, I just feel like I can just downgrade Trent a little bit and go bigger in terms of having a Saka or a Son in the midfield there. And it feels sort of naked and vulnerable to start with Bob and Nkunku and Smith Rowe. So there's a sort of a realm of possibility where the only good proven midfielder I have is Salah and Eze. And that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I am in love with Saka and Son as assets at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to wiggle him around a bit to justify getting Trent, but I couldn't do it to myself. I was just like, all right, if Trent does his thing in this system, then fair play to him. But I love Saka and Son. I think, like I said, Arsenal are going to win the league. I think the first four fixtures, they're going to score, I'll go 12 goals.
Yeah,
I'll be super bullish and think they're going to score 12 goals. Maybe like minimum 10 though. Minimum, I'm not willing to accept that they score lower than 10. I think he's going to do so well, be so influential. Even when I was watching him in preseason, every action he completed that was maybe like goal scoring orientated, so dangerous. Penalties and set pieces. You have penalties in a team that, well, maybe they'll get a lot of penalties, but you got set pieces in a team whereby they have monsters in the box.
Yeah.
So there's so many avenues to points. And then Son is just, I love the first fixture. Honestly, I'm not even really looking at game week two that much. I just love the first fixture. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to get this upside pretty much anywhere else. I'll take it. And you know what? What's the worst that happens? He blanks and I get stuck in game week two at home with one of the best assets in history. So I'm very, very happy with him.
So I'm going to ask you to reveal your team towards the end of this episode. Are you comfortable doing that?
Yeah, of course.
I'm just really worried. I'm in lots of mini leagues with lots of money at stake. So many people are just going to copy your team, but we'll take that risk. In terms of attackers, I think Isaac is not really interesting to talk about. It's just the most obvious option we have this season. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I toyed with the idea for like maybe 10 seconds of trying to not have him, but I was just like, Southampton at home, there's no point putting yourself through that when people are going to captain him, so
nah.
He's a lot.
Du, vi må vaske klær. Strømmen billig nå?
Sjekk appen.
Jeg lurer på hvor mye strøm vi bruker på en dag, ja.
Sjekk appen da vel.
Hvilken app?
Fortum-appen.
Nå?
Fortum-appen gir deg oversikt og trygghet. Kanskje det derfor vi Nordens mest valgte.
Høsten bedre med meny, og denne helgen får du blant annet fersk hel krabbe til 139 kroner kiloen, 650 gram fersk kyllingfilet til 89 kroner, topakk Norvegia til 99 kroner kiloen, og plukk og mix 3 for 2 på utvalgte grønnsaker, både i butikk og levert hjem. Meny, spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
So where are you on the Salah, Haaland, one of them, neither of them? Who do you have in your team at the moment?
I'd say, compared to most, I'm very far on the Haaland side. Like no Salah, just Haaland.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's gonna get the points that justify 12.5. Like if you told me he scores more points than any other mid, I'll be like, okay, sure, like I believe that. I don't actually think he's gonna do that because I think Saka will outscore him this year. But still, at 2.5 more than Saka and Son, it's a huge difference. It's like the difference, it's basically Salah and Gordon versus Saka and Son, and I'm taking Saka and Son any day, knowing that I can captain Haaland pretty much any week I want.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I saw that point. This is spending so like the what you end up with when you have Salah and Haaland is you have a midfield of Bob, Emil Smith Rowe, Ezen, and Nkunku, and it just feels so sort of risky because it looks good on paper and it's sort of the upside, and but then you end up in a situation where it doesn't hit and you have a gaming two or three team that you have to sort of wildcard to get the big stable consistent boys in.
Yeah, so there's a few things there we can talk about. One, in terms of your assets, you have a very low floor because you've only got one penalty taker there, right, in the form of Salah.
Yeah.
The other thing with Salah is the main reason I'm not picking him and the main reason I don't like him is that I think Liverpool's spread of output is going to increase.
Yeah.
In a Klopp system, you obviously had at times Firmino dropping in, but even when you didn't, it was still very front three orientated for the goals and the assists will come from maybe the fullbacks and some eights. But nowadays, when you have Szoboszlai running those channels and you have just the eights in general, just a lot more involved. And when the ball's up the pitch, they'll be the ones in the box a lot of the time. I think it just takes away from his output. Liverpool aren't going to score 5 goals a game, right? If we just assume they score at a similar rate, I think some will just be taken off him. I think Nunez will become a focal point in the side as well, hence why I'm quite anti-Jota at the moment. I'm obviously a bit scared about him game week one, like for the first 60, 75. Yeah, but if I get through
streaky, jammy player. He's the type of player who plays 59 minutes and scores a hat-trick, then you don't see him again for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's literally what I think, apart from the hat-trick bit, is going to happen. I think you're going to see him start game week one. He'll get hooked anywhere between 60 to 80. He might start game week two, and then I think you'll see him start on the bench. So given it's a book transfer, I don't want to go there. I'm just hoping that he doesn't haul in the first 60, 75 or doesn't return. And I think it's a massive plus. You'll start points ahead if he blanks, and you'll start a transfer ahead. And I think that's huge over like such a competitive field.
Yeah, it just feels like every season we learn the lesson of don't get players in your team that's a bank transfer if they don't hit. And the likelihood of them hitting is sort of, it's always less than you think. And every time you get tempted by the upside that you dream up in your head, and then invariably you end up with wishing that you go on the safer route. So I'm making some adjustments to my team as we record this podcast, let me tell you that. So how settled are you on your team right now? Do you have any more pieces of the puzzle to get in there?
Well, given that the only player I really would like that I don't have is Trent, but given that I'm pretty much at peace with that, I made my peace last night. I was like, all right, you know what, cool, I can't have him, no worries. I think I'm locked apart from which four fives I get and which mid-price midfielder. But apart from that, I think I'm locked, both in terms of structure and players. So I'm actually very, very happy with it.
Oh.
It ticks all the boxes that I need. And apart from Liverpool, there's not really much threat there. As long as 12:30 on Saturday doesn't go too bad, yeah. I think I'm in a really nice position.
Okay, without further ado, can I ask you to share your team, Jin?
Yeah, sure. So I have a very unpopular defense. I've got a double Nottingham Forest defense in Sells and Neco Williams at the moment because I'm just playing the fixtures and I don't really like most of the four fives. Starting with them is Gabriel, obviously, as of Wax Lyrical, and Barco. I think nice fixture in... No, actually, it's not a nice fixture in game week one. It's just not the worst. And also, it's a really good fixture in game week four when I need him, Ipswich at home.
Yeah.
So that's great. And to complete the defense, I've got Robinson on the bench who will play game week two and three, and I've also got Harwood Bellis who's just there. He's actually got pretty decent fixtures, so if I ever have to play him, you know, not the end of the world. That's the defense.
Who's your second goalkeeper though? Are you running a 4.0 or do you have two?
Yeah. I've got Bentley.
Yeah, me too. Maybe he'll start for Wolverhampton with the worst opening fixture you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah, I think with him, which apparently Jose Sal might leave.
Yeah.
One reason I picked him is his ownership is fairly low as well, so I don't imagine I'll get a price drop there. So that's the okay. back line.
Yeah, just to repeat. So yeah, Gabriel Barco, Anthony Robinson from Fulham, then attacking fullback there, and then you have Neco Williams, and then Dewsbury Hall. No, sorry, Howard Bellis. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only one I think you can improve. Southampton is going to concede like 85 goals, but that's...
Okay. Yeah, yeah, they probably will. I just, like, at 4.0, I'll chuck him in there. Why not? Apparently he scored in preseason as well, so you never know. If I ever need him, there's a bullet header in there, apparently.
It's a quite cheap defense. I'm interested to hear how you use the funds in midfield.
Yeah, so the midfield is why, and the third forward is why it's so expensive. So I've got Emile Smith Rowe because I need one enabler to fund the rest of the team. And then it gets expensive. Currently, there's Eze there. And then I've got Saka and Son.
Yeah. The changes I made to my team include them as well. Do you have Bob in your team?
No, I've got a 4.5 in Harry Winks. And you'll understand why when you see the forward line. Because where everyone has gone for cheap forwards, I've got Haaland, Isak, Levy, everyone else, but I've also gone Kai Havertz to really...
Oh, wow, that's a bombshell. Kai Havertz. It's interesting because your taste in players is very similar to my previous co-host, Kim. And we made fun of him for having a left center mid as an attacker on the game as well. So what's your reasoning about that behind Havertz?
Yeah, sure. So I think the interpretation of his role is key to deciphering how good of an asset he is. And I think it's a different role to last year. I think last year you see Zinchenko have less progressive responsibility, but in preseason, like his passing catalogue was so impressive and just his progressive catalogue was so impressive, whereby I don't think Havertz will have to drop in as much and do as much of the carrying. I think Odegaard's going to come a bit deeper and help dictate and progress from those areas. Martinelli coming inside a bit more than he did last year helps that left-hand side dynamic and gives Havertz someone to essentially combine with. And lastly, I think he's got more freedom to get into the box and make those type of runs and play with Jesus at times, even when he's that left-center mid. So I don't think it's the same thing as last year. The other thing is they've got Villa away and Spurs away, both fixtures where I think he's going to play 9. So if I get him at 9 for two fixtures, I also think he's a 90-minute man in pretty much every game for a few reasons. And maybe I get him a 9 for 30 minutes against in game 1 and 3. Then that's what? That's 240 minutes I have him at 9, 120 minutes I have him at 8 in a still a fairly attacking role. He'll still be central. And he's got a lot going for him at the moment in terms of his form and many other things, just given how good of a player he is. So I'm very comfortable with it.
And it's also nice to just have one like juicy proper differential in terms in comparison to all the other teams that which will undoubtedly be very, very similar.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I have toyed with the idea of going for a cheap forward. I don't think it's a bad option at all. I actually quite like those drafts. I think they're similar to mine, but they've just not got Havertz. They've got Hotter and a cheap forwards. Yeah. But like I said, I think Arsenal score minimum 10 goals in the first four. And with that in mind, I just want two of their attack. I don't really want to miss out. I think I'll get a haul and some regular returns.
If you had to rank the options below Havertz, we're talking about Wood, Muniz, João Pedro. Do you have any favorites in that price range just below Kai Havertz?
It's so funny because before this, I literally recorded a video. The first topic was Haaland versus Salah.
Yeah.
The second topic was Liverpool. And the third topic was Pedro, Muniz and Wood.
That's literally that. Brilliant.
Yeah, so if I had to rank them, I'm getting a bit warmer on João Pedro than I was initially. I would say, first of all, I think it's so tough. They all have their like strengths and their weaknesses. I think I'm going Wood, Muniz, Pedro. But like all super close between them.
Yeah. I saw an analysis that just said, just go who you think has the higher expected minutes because the underlying data is so similar.
Yeah, this one I've actually strayed away from that just because I obviously talked about how much I like Forrest's fixtures. I think Muniz has better expected minutes than Woods. I think the one you will take away from him quite significantly.
Yeah.
But just with the fixtures, I think I might be able to snatch a goal out of Wood here and there. So that's why. But that's essentially why I'm not going for a cheap forward, because all of them, I think, have their negatives, whereas I think Havertz has none.
Yeah. It's interesting, a very healthy exercise for me to speak with someone who's so grounded in the data, because a lot of people play off vibes, and I used to be known as like a vibey player, and I really am much more comfortable going after the data as I'm getting older and older. I'm turning 36 soon. So
yeah, I mean, like, no, I'm the complete same. I made some idiotic mistakes last year.
Yeah,
they are like, I had a plan penciled in for weeks to get Foden. I didn't get him. I got Rashford after I'd sold him the week before. I calculated at the end of the season, I think personally it cost me a 120 points, which is a stupid amount. given the, so I've learned my lesson from last year,
yeah,
and I just won't be making those type of mistakes again.
Yeah, so there's really no point in me getting you to judge my team because it's pretty similar to yours. I just went for Trent over Havertz and a cheap third forward there.
Yeah, but did you take Salah? Do you not have Salah anymore?
No, I took him out.
Oh, okay, oh, why not? In this half an hour segment, he's already gone.
Yeah, well, I sort of read your threads religiously, and I really, for once, it would be nice just to. I would rather just start with a sort of a balanced, considered approach rather than having to make up for points lost because I've tried to fly too close to the sun. If you know what I mean.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad that I'm honored that I have that level of influence.
So we're in this together, Jen.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so thank you so much for coming on and doing an episode. I really appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure. I mean, like it was a great chat. I really enjoyed it. It didn't feel like a podcast at all. I felt like I was just talking to a friend. The time's flown by as well. So yeah,
oh, that's
pleasure.
Amazing. Thank you.
I'm very grateful that the Norwegian audience would have me. So thank you.
Yeah, the Norwegian audience loves you. And for those who haven't checked out his accounts, his name is FBL _ Gian Batra on Twitter, and you know you're on Instagram as well, but you're not that active there.
Yeah, I don't ever use it. I don't even have my own Instagram activated on my phone. I don't really like the app.
So I've seen you've started doing a lot of YouTube as well, so you can check him out there with analysis. And if you're just getting into FPL, it's just sort of appointment reading every time you write your new thread for the game week. So we really enjoy that, and thanks a lot for doing the episode.
No, it's a pleasure. And I'm glad you enjoy it. It's still pretty weird to me that people actually read and watch my stuff. I never really I still have not conceptualized that. So I appreciate that you like it. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, man.
Pleasure.
Bulldog. Kiwi starter nå en priskrig på sunnere varer og kutter prisen tilsvarende momsen på et stort utvalg av våre mest solgte norske grønnsaker helt fram til 15. september. For eksempel norske gulrøtter I bunn til 25 kroner, norsk broccoli til 11,90 per stykk, og norske poteter I løsvekt til 22,80 per kilo. Alle Kiwi Plus-kunder sparer I tillegg 15% trumfbonus på all fersk frukt og grønt. Bli med og spis sunnere du også. Vi I Kiwi gir oss aldri på pris.